This is the Frederick Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to us by High Low Auto Sales and Tire Pros of Frederick. High Low Auto Sales is online at highlowautosales.com. You can visit us online as well. Go to WFMD.com. You can find us by going to the keyword field, typing in the word faith. Or you can go to the drop-down menu where it has the menu of programs. You can find Faith Debate. Or you can go to the on-air schedule and find Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock, and click on the link for the Faith Debate there. And once you get there, you'll find, well, you'll find links to podcasts of the show. You'll find my biographical information, if you care, and the biographical information for Dr. Jace Broadhurst, who normally would be on this show. He's not on the show this week. We have to finish up what we started last week. We are in the dog days of summer, and so sometimes scheduling just becomes, you know, I know you're probably tired. If you listen to the show regularly, you're tired of me saying that, but scheduling has been particularly tough in recent times. We're all time strapped. We're all stressed for more time in today's world. We've got to figure that out. Anyway, last week we got through without having a panel discussion by listening to the first half of a message that I had an opportunity to share at, believe it or not, Jace Broadhurst's church, Poolsville Baptist Church. It is a message that focused on 2 John verses 1 through 11, titled Truthers, Lovers, and Liars. And so now we're going to catch the second half, picking up exactly where we left off last week.
You think fake news is something new? Having been invented just within the last handful of years? Hardly. Remember what God's Word teaches us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. There is nothing new under the sun. There has always been fake news. Fake news has been around since Adam and Eve interacted with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Eve reported falsely that they weren't even allowed to touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Fake news. The serpent reported falsely, "You will not surely die if you eat from the tree." Fake news. And Adam contributed to these false narratives, to this fake news, by standing idly by when he knew that what they were saying was false. And so liars who deceive by neglecting the truth and by spreading falsehoods, spreading fake news, have been a part of history since the very first man and woman walked the face of the earth. And therefore, this problem has been plaguing the church since the very first generation that followers of the way have been calling themselves Christian. Why do I say this? Because John says this. If we look at 2 John verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. There are liars in John's era. And there are liars in ours. Can you recognize them? These liars, these deceivers, these supposed leaders of Christ's church who deny Christ, who is the very cornerstone and capstone of the church. These liars exist. They're out there. Or perhaps better put, they're in here, appearing to be within Christ's church, with us, misleading so many. They say that Jesus came, some of them, only in spirit, not flesh. This is what John's writing about. He's talking about a spiritual movement of his era, a movement that taught that tangible, physical, material things of the universe were dirty. And so God couldn't possibly have come in the flesh to soil himself in this way. That would be unbecoming for God. So he must therefore have remained solely in the spiritual realm, high above it all, detached. Because the spiritual is good, and God is good. This totally misses the point that God created the material universe And he said that it was good. And after adding Adam and Eve to the equation, he said it was very good. Now, there is no denying that sin has been introduced, and so there is a brokenness in the world. Humankind fell into immorality, and so we have with us sorrow and sickness and death. So there is something that's bad about the condition of the world right now, and there is something that is admittedly astounding. I don't know if we think about it often enough. It is admittedly an astounding truth that the Almighty and all-knowing and holy, holy, holy God would condescend to become a man. But he is God. He can do what he wants. And he tells us that what he wanted to do was to love us so much that he did, in fact, send his son to live as Jesus of Nazareth on earth so that he could pay the penalty for his people's sin to restore us to being his set-apart image-bearers as we were created to be. If God did not do this, then Jesus is not the Savior. Lord, maybe. Savior, impossible. So by extension of what they teach these deceivers, they say that Jesus is not the Savior. These false teachers are Antichrist. That's what John calls them. Antichrist. Anti, opposed to, working against, not in alignment with, an enemy of Christ. And John tells us to watch out, to be on guard. Let's examine verses 8 through 11. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Jesus Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Boy, you know, I don't know. That almost sounds serious, doesn't it? John is earnestly beseeching his readers, including you and me, to be on the lookout for wolves in sheep's clothing. Because these wolves undermine local churches. They're antichrist, after all. They don't continue in the teaching of Christ. So they don't have God. And if we follow after them, then this is evidence that we don't really have God either. But if we do have God, then we continue in the true teaching. And therefore we have evidence that we have God with us. He is with us as Lord and Savior, as Father and Son, as the standard giver and the standard bearer. Again, John says in verses 10 and 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. What does he mean here? He can't mean that we should avoid all contact with all liars, or we could not go forth and pronounce the good news to people, making disciples, talking to people who are lost in their sins, lost in their lies. So he can't mean that. What he's talking about here are those who are claiming to be one of us, even those positioned as leaders and teachers in the church, especially those are who he has in view here. And if we think of house here as God's church, and I find it helpful in this context to think of house as the house of God, then we should not welcome these false teachers into our houses of worship, into our local churches to lead and to teach us. Now this brings us back to an earlier question that I asked. Can you recognize them? How can these false teachers be recognized? Well, they deny that Jesus is Lord and Savior, for one. We already touched upon it today. They deny who Jesus really is. They deny that he came in the flesh to accomplish his earthly mission. How many Christian leaders have you heard teach that Jesus, he's your example of how to live your life better? That Jesus is, he's like a genie set free from a bottle, and therefore he is obligated to grant you your wishes if only you have enough faith. Or how many have you heard teach that Jesus is a means to social justice in our world today? Well, Jesus is an example to us, but he's more than our example. He's our representative. And Jesus does move mountains in response to the prayers of his people. But when these prayers are seeking his will, not our wishes, and Jesus is all about justice, social and otherwise, but his is a kingdom not of this world. And he calls us to call others into this kingdom of his, not to merely renovate the kingdoms of this world with a primary focus on politics, rather than having a primary focus on God. What about leaders in the church who deny the judgment of God? Jesus stands for righteousness and obedience. We see that in today's text. To say that he acquiesces to unrighteousness doesn't call people to obedience. That he looks the other way when it comes to disobedience, well, that's to say that Jesus is someone other than who he says he is. This is to deny Christ, to deny what he said, to deny what he did in coming in the flesh. What about the church leaders who accept or even promote that the Father and the Son are one and the same? There is no Trinity. Or teach that Satan is Christ's brother. Or teach that Jesus is Savior, but not really Creator, and therefore not really Lord. Or teaching that Jesus is not coming back. Or that he has come back already and somehow you missed it. Some of these are big and obvious lies to the church, the true church. Well, they're big and obvious lies to some of us. But many of the lies are sneaky and subtle to many. On my television system, there's a string of, I don't know, maybe a dozen or so channels. They're all religious channels stacked back to back to back to back. And the other day I was flipping through them as I often do. And on one channel, there was a guy, I kid you not, this was all within like a 5-10 minute span, flipping through the channels. And there's one guy who's promising blessings to you if only you will send in a love gift in support of Israel. And on the very next channel, there was this very flamboyant preacher who was, for some reason, shaving the head of some other guy up on the stage. And I'm not exactly sure what the point of that was supposed to be, but it left the impression that Jesus is some sort of an entertainer. And then again, at the same time, on another one of these channels, there were people who were hysterically laughing uncontrollably, rolling on the floor, out of control of their senses. Their pastor was crying uncontrollably. He literally said that, "I have no control of my faculties." The fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. From them we see a Jesus who manipulates emotions and creates disorder among his people. We look at these examples, most of us, and we stand aghast. How could anyone be fooled by these men and women? But then we sit in pews, or the ever-increasingly popular theater-style seats, and we uncritically listen to sermon after sermon that never mentioned Jesus. Or if they do, they position him as a means to accomplishing your best life now. 12 steps to your best life now. They never mention the necessity of the cross because of our sins. They never mention that he is our friend and our King. They never mention any of this. They never help us to be reminded, and we need to be reminded, of just how beautiful is the thing he has done for us. How beautiful is his creation. How beautiful is the hard love that he has for us. A hard love that invites us to share in his suffering. And by doing so, to share in the advancing of his kingdom. Instead, they tell us what we want to hear. The time of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 is here, I'm afraid. If you're not familiar, it is the time when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Tickle our ears. Tickle them. Tickle, tickle, tickle. Just like Fleetwood Mac sang decades ago. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise. You can't disguise, no, you can't disguise. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. What is so horribly sad and tremendously discouraging is that these practitioners of telling lies, they don't even try to disguise their lies many times. But we uncritically listen. Anyway, do not embrace these lying teachers. Make that your gift to your Heavenly Father on Father's Day. Do not embrace these lying teachers. And for the love of God, literally, for the love of God, and for the truth of God, keep these liars from leading our churches, or we share in their guilt. In being dramatic, I might have accidentally painted a picture of a universal church that is in shambles. not true. The true church is guarding against falling into shambles. The true church is trusting in God's word, reading it, studying it, meditating upon it. We are teaching it, we're learning it, and therefore we know that Christ is the perfect truth and perfect love. The true church is in a position of strength. Now, yes, Antichrist is attacking the church in spiritual battle. There is no denying that. But always remember, Christ's church is Christ's church. And therefore, it cannot ultimately fail. It is a promise and a guarantee. Truth and love, guaranteed, trounces liars. As the Amish like to say, for sure and for certain. Let's pray. Father, we adore you and love you. Help us to adore and love others. Help us to be more consistently obedient to your call on our lives to live out the walk of life that you've called us to. We praise you even for the difficult times, because they demonstrate the truth of the hard love that you have for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for opening our eyes to receive it. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit and ask that by your Holy Spirit you would lead us to live better lives of walking in your truth, in appreciation for what your Son Jesus Christ has done for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
And there you have the conclusion of the two-part series, Truthers, Lovers, and Liars, that was shared on Father's Day, as you might have gathered there at Poolsville Baptist Church. I want to thank Jace Broadhurst for allowing me the opportunity to do that, and I want to thank you for allowing me to share it with you here today. We will have, hopefully, a panel discussion on tap for you next week on The Faith Debate. The Faith Debate is brought to you by Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAutoSales.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. We're online at WFMD.com, keyword faith, or just find us somewhere. If somehow you can find The Faith Debate pretty easily on the website. You can find access to this show via podcast and other shows on podcast and see what's coming up on the docket for the show. Thanks again for listening. Until next week, we'll do this again 167 and a half hours from now. Until then, God bless.